Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the third Psalm. This quarter, we're going to be hearing some sermons from the Psalms from our students. Psalm number 3, hear God's word. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace extended through this means. And we pray now that you'd be present to apply your good word to our hearts, to our comfort and growth and edification. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. As we hear the prayer requests in chapel, day by day as we meet together, we hear of various challenges in life. Our brother, who languishes in the hospital, having suffered a stroke. Our dear sister and her children and grandchildren, a lost baby. And these challenges strike us, do we not, close to home. And we pray, we lean on Christ in the midst of such challenges. And we also hear the good requests with regard to praise, giving thanks to God, with regard to answered prayer. And in retrospect, we can look back and see the good hand of God has been at work in our lives. And there's a theme here, isn't there? That when you lean on Christ in the challenges of life, you see then God's hand at work. And this is exactly what we see in Psalm 3. We see David in the midst of a great challenge, a great family difficulty. And we see David leaning upon Christ, and we see the outcome of his awaking from sleep and rejoicing and, in retrospect, seeing the good hand of God. And so that's the point I want you to see from the psalm, that you are to lean on Christ in the challenges of life to see God's hand at work in your life. As you look at the psalm, you'll notice, first of all, that we are given the situation, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Of course, this is, in the Hebrew, the beginning of the first verse in the divine text. And it does set before us the situation in which David penned this psalm. Absalom was David's third son, and there was no small controversy and tension in the family, especially between David and Absalom. Absalom had killed another son, one of his half-brothers, because Amnon, this half-brother, had raped and seduced Tamar, Absalom's sister. Great family. And we understand that there's challenges in this family. And Absalom then is banished, as it were, from the kingdom. And when he comes back, David doesn't allow Absalom in his house. Absalom has to stay in his own house. But Absalom then spirits the city of Jerusalem and the kingdom away from David. And David then must flee from the city of Jerusalem. And as he flees, the text tells us in 2 Samuel that he goes up the Mount of Olives, crying and weeping as he goes. And he is met by a fellow in a community close to the Mount of Olives who curses him and throws rocks at him and says to him, "Your blood is upon your head, David." And so David flees from the city of Jerusalem. And we see his demeanor, and as he looks at his adversaries, in verses 1 and 2. Look at the text there with me, if you would. "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God." So here David is fleeing not only from Absalom, but Absalom has gathered a group of men around him and taken the kingdom and declared himself to be king. And David flees under these circumstances. So it's not just one adversary, but it is a host of adversaries. And as we see in the text in verse 2, "Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God." Mocking David, as it were, that he's been removed from the kingdom, and surely there's no deliverance that comes from him. I mentioned that David went up the hill toward the Mount of Olives and through the Mount of Olives. It's not inconsequential that this was the case. David is a type of Christ, and it was none other than our Savior who also went up to the Mount of Olives and cried there in tears, bitter tears, before the Lord. And our Lord on the cross heard these words also. He believed in God. Let's watch and see if God will deliver him. And so our Lord was mocked. And we too may have challenges even with in our own families. Is this not the case? I remember when I was prepared to go to seminary, and my own father said to me, "You're going to do that? You're going to give up a perfectly good career in the Army for that?" And it was with some disdain that he spoke to me about coming to seminary. But we not only see the stance of the enemy, as it were, and David's looking at the stance of the enemy, but at the end of the psalm, we also see God's stance. Look at verses 7 and 8. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." You see, there's God's stance with regard to his people. And David understood that. David understood that God's blessing ultimately was resting upon him as he was counted among God's people. And David knew that he was a recipient of the salvation that belongs to the Lord, as verse 8 has it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation comes to you and to me only from the Lord and from none other. It is a sovereign work of God given to us through Jesus Christ. And he takes us to himself and he blesses us. What a good thing that is. You see, God's stance with regard to you and to me. And so David says, without hesitation, knowing God's stance in verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God." He understood that even in this rather dismal family situation and challenge that faced him, God was the one who would save him, who would extricate him from this situation, because salvation does belong to the Lord. And then you have these very strong words in verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked." It's as though God took the back of his hand and he struck the enemies on the side of the face and broke the jaw of every enemy and shattered their teeth and shut their mouths. "As sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me." We say that, but those names called sting, do they not? And they hurt. And God shuts the mouth of the adversary. You notice again in verse 8, "Your blessing be upon your people." And one of the root ideas behind the word blessing is speaking well of another, blessing them. And if God speaks well of you, you can be sure that what he speaks will come to pass. Is that not the case? And it is a great blessing if God speaks well of you. And at the same time, what does he do? He shuts the mouth of the adversary. He smites them and strikes them so they cannot speak. Well, if this is the stance of God, then surely you can pray, can you not? And understand your stance and what your stance before the enemy and the adversary ought to be. Look with me at verse 6 in the psalm. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about." And, of course, the picture from the Old Testament is the armies assembled around the camp of the saints. But then look at verse 3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me." The enemy may be about me, but you, O Lord, are my defense. You, O Lord, are my shield. You are the one in whom I can depend. My glory, and the one who lifts up my head. And so while the enemies may be many, on one hand, round about, God is the protector and the shield round about. As I think about the many enemies, if you're like me, one is sufficient, not a multitude. And I recall before a worship service, meeting with the leaders of a congregation I served in the study for prayer, because I was about to go out and preach. But there was a controversy in the congregation. And I said to the leaders, "Don't you know that the devil is at work in our midst?" And one of the men looked me square in the face and said, "Denny, you are the chief emissary of the devil in this congregation." Well, that felt good. Especially on my way to the pulpit to preach. There are challenges in this life, are there not? And there are challenges in the church in this life. But, verse 3 says, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. You are the one who acts as a father toward me. And those of you who have children will understand that often the little one comes crying in distress. And what do? You reach down. You reach down and put your hands around that little one and lift up that little one's head and say, "It's okay. Why? Mom and Dad are here. We are with you." And what does God say to you? Is it not that very same thing? He is the one who lifts up your head on high and calls to your remembrance, "I am with you." Well, understanding this is the case, what may you do? You may cry out to the Lord. Verse 4, "I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain." Here is the prayer then that ascends from the lips of David to the Father in heaven. When David fled from Jerusalem, Zadok, the chief priest, brought the Ark of the Covenant out of Jerusalem and was following David. And David said, "No, take the Ark of the Covenant back and put it in its proper place." David knew that he did not need the symbol of God's presence with him when he had the actual presence of God with him. He could pray in any location and God would hear him from his holy temple. And so it is for you and me, is that not the case, friends? That you from any place may cry out to God and he hears you in his great holy temple in heaven, which is above. And in this challenging situation where David flees from Jerusalem, understands his adversary, and he understands the stance of God with regard to his people and David himself, David prays. And then look at verse 5. "I lay down and slept." I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. Understanding the adversary, understanding God's stance, and leaning upon Christ in this challenge of life, David takes his rest. I think this is quite amazing, actually, and quite significant, because in the end, if you do know who you are before God, and you understand God's stance on behalf of his people, can you not take your rest? And, as David says, "I awoke." And for what reason? "For the Lord sustains me." I can look back now on the situation and understand God's hand has been at work, and the Lord himself is the one who bears me up and sustains me. And so there's our lesson, you see. Lean on Christ in life's challenges, and you will see God's hand at work. I'm amazed, quite honestly, at our present president. Not because I agree with his policies in every respect, but I'm thankful that he's a man who has made a confession of faith in Christ. And over the years, although he has been vilified and attacked, week after week and month after month and year after year, not only by his political opponents, but in the media, he's maintained a stance and a faithfulness in his work. Why is that the case? Only a few days ago, I read an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal written by one of his aides. He said, "I walked into the Oval Office at 7:30 in the morning for a senior staff meeting, and I saw the president sitting at his desk reading a daily devotional." The only way you can maintain a stance in this life, in the midst of challenges, is to lean on Christ. And in retrospect, you will see the hand of God at work. You see, that man in the Oval Office is no different than you and me. You have challenges too, and so do I. And in this quarter, you'll have some challenges. Lean on Christ in the midst of life's challenges. And you know what? You'll be able to look back and see God's hand has been at work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us a good word because it is written. And as we glean your truth from it, we are encouraged. And so I pray that in this quarter, as we proceed with the work that is before us here at the seminary, and as we meet the challenges that are before us at home, in our families, in our work, and in the church, that we will lean upon Christ in the midst of those challenges, and we will be able to see in the end your hand has been at work. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.